Thank you very much, Anne, and good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. Let me briefly walk you through the agenda today. Daniel Martinez, the Chief Financial Officer, will comment the highlights of the Q3 results. As you see, this section is shorter than usual in order to better focus on Almirall's midterm outlook and the potential from our growth platforms. The rest of the Q3 materials can be found in the appendixes of the presentation that we released early this morning. Bertil Lindmark will come next, the Chief Scientific Officer, updating the pipeline and sharing the latest presentations at scientific congresses. Luciano Conte, Chief Operating Officer, will provide the key elements with regards to our key growth platforms going forward, aclidinium, linaclotide, and Sativex. Finally, Eduardo Sánchez, Chief Executive Officer, will tackle the rest of the event with the strategic remarks, midterm outlook, and will wrap up the event and open the Q&A session. Let's kick off. I now hand over to Daniel.
Thank you, Jordi, and good morning, everyone. This is a quick summary of our results as of September 13th. Almirall is on track to attain our yearly profit guidance. Sales were broadly on track with improved gross margins as cost discipline remains a top priority. Our strong financial fundamentals continue. We keep a very solid balance position with intact net leverage capacity. Our free cash flow has significantly improved by almost 20%. Let me now share the key elements from our P&L year to date. Sales are down 12%, pretty much as expected, and is still reflecting the impact of the 2010 reforms and generic competition. Gross margin has significantly improved by 110 basis points, mainly driven by the greater proportion of proprietary drugs and the continuous improvement of our cost of goods sold. Targeted savings of 7 million euros for the year are well on track, and R&D has increased during the quarter due to the start of the phase III of aclidinium plus formoterol. An impairment loss has been booked linked to the cancellation of derma projects from the Hermal acquisition, while we have been adding other derma projects in the pipeline. By the way, we will have some restructuring costs in Q4, but at lower level than last year. Normalized income is comfortably within the guidance of high 20s% decline expected at the end of the year. Base business, aside from those affected in Spain, is performing well. Our balance remained strong, unlevered, and with a negligible net debt. We estimate a net cash position by year-end, and equity represents 56% of total assets. This provides us with a strong strategic flexibility going forward. Our working capital cycle remained strongly stable, and very sensitive KPIs like days sales outstanding have been improved compared with last year. Moving to cash flow, we see another quarter of solid cash generation despite lower profit before taxes. Investing activities have been substantially lower than last year, and all things considered, free cash flow is 20% up year to date versus the same period, 2010. All in all, our financial performance during the first three quarters is broadly progressing as planned, following the latest healthcare reforms in Spain, as we expect to achieve the profit guidance announced in October. As Jordi pointed out, the rest of the sales segmentation and quarterly materials are in the appendix of the presentation released early this morning. Let me now hand over to Bertil.
Thank you, Daniel. Good morning, everyone. I'm pleased to inform you about the progress of our pipeline. This is a snapshot of the current status. We have simplified the slide to enhance clarity. For competitive reasons and to focus in our late-stage pipeline opportunities, we're only disclosing compounds from phase II onwards. Three projects led by aclidinium bromide and linaclotide are in approval phase, and we expect feedback during 2012. Our aclidinium plus formoterol combo, Sativex in oncological pain, and a proprietary derma compound for non-melanoma skin cancer are in phase III. They are also followed by two projects in phase II. The key takeaway from our pipeline is the breadth of our respiratory portfolio. Our franchise now includes a complete range of proprietary molecules, LAMA, LABA, and MABA. which we are developing in our unique GenAir device. Very few competitors are able to match this comprehensive respiratory portfolio, and obviously the race is on for the double bronchodilator combination and the once daily LABA ICS combination. In September, full detail of the ATTAIN Phase 3 trial was presented at ERS in Amsterdam, where Almirall hosted a very successful symposium which included the participation of selected key opinion leaders. Actinium demonstrated maximum bronchodilatation from the first day, significant improvement in symptoms, and a very favorable tolerability profile. We felt excellent support from key opinion leaders for Actinium and for GenAir. Clearly, our proprietary device GenAir is a very strong and critical asset in our product development in respiratory. At ERS, we also presented a device preference study showing that GenAir is the preferred device in front of other technologies such as hand inhaler, discus, turbohaler, respimat, and aerolyzer. Additionally, we demonstrated the device and showed these use live in front of the audience. More recently, at the EUGW in Stockholm, full Phase 3 linaclotide data were presented. Highlights include a clinically significant reduction in abdominal pain, bloating and constipation, as well as improvement in all the IBS-C symptoms from the first week and throughout the whole treatment period. All in all, these data met all 23 European and additional endpoints with statistical significance while keeping an excellent tolerability profile. At the MS-focused ECTRIMS meeting in Amsterdam, data from three Phase 3 trials involving 1,500 MS patients were presented. Sativex shows evidence of long-term efficacy and a convenient tolerability for patients. Almirall hosted a symposium highlighting the key benefits of Sativex, and we had more than 600 physicians attending. As you know, the product has been launched in some countries, and we plan to roll out in four new countries next year. In addition, and we're very proud to mention that, recently Sativex was finalist at the 7th Annual Scrip Awards in the category of Best New Drug. Within this category, Sativex was recognized as the first new therapeutic solution to treat spasticity in over 10 years. In summary, we have an outstanding pipeline for a company of our size. We're building our franchises both in respiratory, dermatology, and in GI. As you have seen, we've done the most significant regulatory submissions, Actinium and linaclotide, in Almirall's history. Both submissions have been validated, and we expect regulatory feedback during 2012. We believe both Actinium bromide and linaclotide represent effective medicines which offer differentiation versus current therapies and provide substantial commercial opportunities. Thank you very much for your attention, and I will now hand over to Luciano.
Thank you, Bertil. Good morning, everybody. It's a pleasure to share with you our new product cycle and our key platforms for growth. This slide shows the growing contribution of the latest launches. Accumulated sales over the quarter show how a new product cycle is unfolding with steady growth. As of September 30th, more than 34 million of accumulated sales came from the six products outlined. Some of these products were introduced during the quarter. This contribution is expected to grow further going forward and will be reinforced by the forthcoming launch of Solaris in Spain before the end of this year. There are ongoing price and reimbursement conversations with authorities for Toctino, which rollout we plan to continue during 2012. Please bear in mind that the co-promotion of Combrita, Libertech, and the recent agreements with Lundbeck to co-promote escitalopramide in Italy are booked in other income, and therefore are not represented here. This provides additional evidence for increasing meaningful contributions. Let me now walk you through the most significant opportunities in commercial terms that could greatly expand this new product cycle. As you know, COPD is a sizable and expanding market with high unmet needs. According to the World Health Organization data, 64 million people out of 210 million affected worldwide suffer from moderate to severe COPD. Today, it represents around 9 billion sales, and nearly half of these sales are generated by tiotropium, the only approved LAMA. Aclidinium bromide, our proprietary LAMA, submitted for approval in the US and Europe in 2011, has proven to be an effective treatment option for COPD patients. Today, we are well positioned to be the second LAMA in the market, and as Bertil commented, we have already started the phase 3 of our aclidinium plus formoterol combination. We continue to believe that the combined commercial opportunity of the aclidinium bromide franchise is over 1 billion euros worldwide. Aclidinium will have a clear place in the treatment of COPD, offering patients fast and consistent bronchodilation, improving symptoms around the clock, and providing excellent tolerability. Aclidinium bromide is comparable to tiotropium in key efficacy parameters, as was seen in a phase 2 trial, but will provide additional patient benefits such as symptom improvement in the second half of the day, placebo-like anticholinergic side effects, and a patient-preferred easy-to-use device. The clear differentiation of aclidinium has benefited us in the ongoing partnering discussions. We are progressing in evaluating a number of options for a pan-European agreement. Almirall's respiratory franchise would cover both monotherapy and combination therapy and will offer physicians a range of treatment options for COPD patients. Genuair is our state-of-the-art inhaler technology and is designed to address patients' unmet needs. We believe that its unique features will help both prescribers and nurses to better train the patients in improving treatment compliance. Treatment compliance is a source of concern as proven in different publications. Genuair is a preloaded device with dose supply for 1 month, and the dose delivery only requires 2 steps. The patient gets a multiple feedback that ensures administration has been successful, namely the indication of the color window and the click. In a study presented at the European Respiratory Society, Genuair was preferred over other devices such as tiotropium and inhalers, Discus, Turbohaler, Respimat, and Aerolyzer. Let me now turn briefly to linaclotide and the patient community that we expect to serve. IBS affects today nearly 12% of the European population, out of which around one-third is thought to have IBS with constipation. The level of satisfaction with current therapies, such as antispasmodics and laxatives, is low, as this is a multifactorial disease involving different abdominal and bowel symptoms. In Europe, total direct and indirect costs relating to IBS have been estimated similar to that level of other common chronic conditions, such as asthma or congestive heart failure. Additionally, the quality of life of these patients is affected as much as patients with asthma or migraine. We therefore view linaclotide as a very significant market opportunity, and we believe linaclotide will become the first product ever approved by the EMEA for IBS-C. We have submitted the dossier in September. Clinical studies involving 1,600 patients demonstrate sustained efficacy and a well-tolerated safety profile. Importantly, linaclotide acts locally in the gastrointestinal tract and is minimally absorbed, so it has a low potential for adverse systemic effects. This first-in-class compound was licensed from Iron Boot in 2009, and Almirall holds commercial rights for all European territories plus Turkey. Although we have not guided its peak sales potential, most of sales side analysts provide estimates that go up to 200 million. This represents twice the peak sales of our best product ever, Avastin. So let's move now to Sativex. We have already launched Sativex in several countries to treat multiple sclerosis spasticity. We are proud to market Sativex and provide solutions for this important set of patients. Sativex represents the first new therapeutic solution to treat these symptoms in over 10 years. Multiple sclerosis affects less than 1 million patients in Europe. Around 80% of this community will present spasticity, and it is estimated that less than a third receive adequate treatment. Positive product feedback has been gathered from both patients and physicians in all the launched territories. The uptake in the key German market, which is more or less half of the projected sales for the product, suggests that Sativex may become soon a significant contributor to our sales going forward. The rollout of the product in Almirall's territories, European Union ex-UK, is progressing as planned. So far, it's presented in Germany, Spain, and Denmark, and in 2012, we plan to launch it in 4 additional countries. we expect that Sativex will reach our top 15 product list in 2012. Also, a second mutual recognition procedure is expected to be initiated before the end of this year. Lastly, as Bertil pointed out, Sativex is in phase 3 in oncological pain. Although we have to be prudent, this second indication represents a far greater opportunity than the multiple sclerosis indication. Before handing over to Eduardo, let me finish going back to the beginning. A new product cycle is unfolding in Almirall. We are also benefiting from an expanding pan-European dermatology franchise, and we are rejuvenating our portfolio with recent added products. On top of that, these three platform growths have a phenomenal combined firepower to accelerate the new cycle and provide a significant transformation to our international footprint. As you can see, there are many reasons for us to be excited about the forthcoming future. With this, I will pass the word to Eduardo.
Okay, thank you, Luciano, and good morning, everyone. I would like to spend some time highlighting some of the key achievements over the last years, particularly since the IPO, to also spend a bit of time reviewing our strategic priorities and to make some comments, very importantly, on the midterm outlook for Almirall. Since the IPO and in line with our strategic axis, Almirall has made substantial progress in the internationalization of our business, in strengthening our pipeline. We have nearly doubled our own affiliates outside Spain, which will be key commercial platforms to promote our new products, particularly Aclidinium and Linaclotide. According to our estimates, international sales may actually approach 70% of total by year 2014. We have also substantially reinforced our pipeline, and we now have 9 projects or products in phase 3 regulatory process or being rolled out as we speak in different countries. For a company of our size, we believe that we have an outstanding R&D platform aiming to deliver a substantial growth in the years to come. In addition, we have been successful in the corporate development front, making a good use of our cash. We successfully completed, since the IPO, 13 key agreements that combine both sound strategic rationale and disciplined valuation criteria. As of the end of Q3 2011, the aggregate contributions to sales from corporate development projects materialized over the last 4 years amount to about 22% of total sales. All these agreements have reinforced either our sales, other income, or cash position, and we have kept our balance sheet unlevered and ready to fuel non-organic growth with new licenses and or selected acquisitions. We continue to focus on relevant strategic opportunities and also to return cash to shareholders via dividend. Now, in this slide, the key takeaway is that going forward, we do not expect the material erosion of our gross margin despite the several rounds of price discounts in Spain implemented in 2010 and 2011. There are three key factors that help us to greatly mitigate this effect. First, we have the growing proportion of proprietary drugs as percentage of total sales, which have obviously better margins. Second, the savings and synergies generated by the concentration of our manufacturing plants and that we are completing in 2011. And finally, the progressive phasing out of the dilutive toll manufacturing business, which we expect will end this year. Now, as you can see, we have been very successful in the last few years in building a more efficient organization and in generating savings and synergies while still effectively promoting our product portfolio. Almirall is at the threshold of launching 2 of the largest commercial opportunities in our history. Most of the promotion undertaken in terms of cost will be led by Aclidinium bromide in combination with the effort being made by our future partners. A further outline on the marketing plan for each product will be provided as we get closer to the launch date. Assuming key products are obtained in 2012, promotional efforts will be substantial in order to ensure that the sharp acceleration of revenues in 2013 and 2014, and this graph only refers to orders of magnitude and proportions are only indicative, but you can see basically the trend. What is important is to mention that the structure and back office costs will continue being trimmed and that the specific SG&A related to product launch is temporary and included in the midterm guidance that I will talk about in a moment. So as we consider key assumptions for the next few years, they are basically included in the following elements. On the one hand, we are assuming that what we are going to say next, the current pricing levels will be maintained, that we contemplate significant increase in other income, especially in 2012 and 13. Steadily growing commercial investments should push upwards our commercial expenses, but again, that should be temporary. the rollout of Sativex to be continued with 4 additional launches in 4 countries during 2012. Aclinion and Linaclotide anticipated launches are to happen in the first half of 2013 as per our estimations. And obviously, if any new license or acquisition not included, and therefore would be an upside in the future. So with all that, we expect that sales in 2012 will follow similar trends as in 2011. Also, the high 20s% decline in normalized net income expected in 2011 should be less severe in 2012. And based on the assumptions I just shared with you on the previous slide, we expect that revenues will accelerate sharply in 2013 and 14. Given that operational profit is clearly sensitive to increased commercial investment and sustained R&D efforts, we expect a lagging effect on profitability in 2013 and substantial profit growth from 2014 onwards. We have incorporated 6 new products over the last 12 months, 3 of them in Spain, Silodix, Combrifa, and Libertec, and 3 others elsewhere, Mitoctino, Sativex, Acticaral. As you have seen, together with Tesavel and Epicip that were launched in 2009, they are materially contributing to unfolding a new product cycle that will greatly be reinforced with the launches of Aclinion and Linaclotide. The declining trend of the last period due to healthcare reforms in Spain and the maturity of our portfolio will change trends soon in a manner that we expect solid 2-digit compounded growth between 2012 and 2014. So if I review our key strategic priorities with all of you, they are very clear. On the one hand, and very first in the priority list, is about getting ready to effectively prepare to grow our new products. Secondly, it's about managing and taking care of the P&L transition, and this remains top in our priority list, especially in a very challenging environment as we face the necessary commercial investments. And finally, we need to continue thinking about the preparation of the organization for the future growth. So, in brief, in recent years we have done great efforts on cost and OPEX management, we have progressed steadily in our internationalization, and we have moved forward our pipeline as well as new business development opportunities. Now it's time to ensure that the forecast launches with unprecedented sales potential for Almirall are properly promoted by us and by our partners, and the opportunities are fully leveraged. In the short term, our P&L will obviously be sensitive to this intense yet necessary effort in order to maintain the competitiveness of our products. The corporate development front has also been active and now is providing increasing contribution to sales as a new product cycle is unfolding and rejuvenating our portfolio. It has also helped us to balance risk and rewards in our R&D projects, as well as strengthening our cash inflows. But now it's time to take Almirall to the next level and to make sure that we handle properly the challenges that we face, but also to ensure that we leverage adequately our potential of our growth platforms. In summary, our investment proposition combines a cash generating business, expanding international sales, a solid track record in corporate development that we aim to continue, and a promising and about to deliver pipeline. After the filings of Aclinion and Linaclotide, we expect a rich news flow in the period 2012-13, led obviously by the regulatory outcomes of the recently filed products. Finally, we are very confident that we can deliver a strong growth over the mid and long term for our investors. And from here, I would like to pass it to Jordi, and we will be delighted to take your questions.
Thank you very much to all. Operator, back to you for Q&A, please.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel that request, please press the hash key. That's star one to ask a question, please. Your first question comes from the line of Kerry Holford from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I just wanted to go back to the comments you made earlier about continuing to evaluate your options for Aclidinium in Europe. Are you able to give us a little bit more detail here? Are you still anticipating to be able to announce a partner by year end? Are you or potential partners awaiting any final data before this could be announced? Anything that might be representing a delay? Many thanks.
Let me take this question. This is Eduardo. Indeed, we have indicated in the past that we were aiming to conclude an agreement with towards European Partnership on Aluminium Bromide by year-end. We also indicated at that time that those were complex undertakings because inevitably you need to get into a country-by-country discussions. I think that we are progressing very well. I'm not sure right now that we can say that the agreement will be reached before the end of the year. It could happen, or they may actually make it to the first part of next year. And by the way, if that were to happen, this would have no consequence of the guidance that we have provided. And we feel very strongly about the opportunity to conclude the pan-European deals. We have a number of companies engaged. This obviously, again, takes us into country-by-country discussions, and we have, as you can imagine, parallel tracks on discussions. But based on the progress of those discussions and the level of interest and commitment that we see on the other side, we feel very positive about the direction of this initiative.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Edward Dulac from Barclays Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and thank you. A few questions, please. First two related to R&D for Dr. Lindmark. It looks as if you have moved the aclidinium and formoterol combination into phase three, I guess, in September. I was wondering if you can confirm whether this occurred before or after any monotherapy-related questions you received from the FDA. And along that line, would you provide any color on the questions you may have received from regulators regarding monotherapy filing, particularly with the FDA? And then secondly, another pipeline question on the LABA-ICS combination. Just curious as if all additional phase two studies have been started and if you have an updated expectation for your ability to move this compound into phase three. And as a follow-on to that, given the potential regulatory challenges associated with LABAs in the U.S. in particular, do you envision being able to run one global regulatory program, or will the U.S. potentially experience a longer development timeline? And then two quick financial-related questions, one on SG&A. If I look at your slide 28, it suggests that aclidinium and linaclotide spend would be a little bit higher than what I would have expected. Can you just clarify whether these investments have already been made so far in 2011, or are these investments expected to occur mostly in the fourth quarter? And then just lastly on the dividend, given the next 1 to 2 years may be challenging on the top line and the required investments behind key pipeline assets, how do you think about the dividend going forward? Thank you.
Good morning, Edward. This is Bertil. With regard to the combination, we wouldn't comment on any questions from the FDA. But obviously, we have... During the whole development of the combination, we've been in contact and worked with the FDA to understand best the strategy to develop the combo in both in the U.S. and Europe. So we feel confident that we have made good choices for choosing the doses, choosing the way that we de-risk the phase three. With regard to the phase two of the LABA ICS, I think we've done. We are confident that we'll conclude the phase two during the spring, and we'll then take stock on and try to understand how to best develop this program. Obviously, as you point out, the environment might be completely different in Europe and in the U.S., and we need to take that into account when looking forward. Will we be able to develop one global program? I think we'll have to take stock on that when we look at the data from these studies. And obviously, that would be the absolutely best, but we'll come back on that question.
Regarding your question about the dividends, what I can mention is that, I mean, obviously, at this point in the year, our board of directors has not had yet the opportunity to debate on the dividend that will be given during 2012. Yet what I can tell you is that the board in general has maintained a strong view about the keeping our stated dividend policy of 35% net income. So again, even though not yet on this particular item, 2012, I see a high probability that our dividend policy, as it has been in the past, of 35% to 40% of net income.
Okay, regarding the sales on G&A and the new launches, this is Daniel Martinez speaking. On 2011, as the slide 28 shows, obviously we have already started to invest in the launches. but I believe this is still not meaningful, and you will see the major impact in 2012 onwards.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Jamie Clark from Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning. I have two questions, please. Firstly, on linaclotide in Europe, can you just talk about how you expect to launch that product? Are you looking for other partners as you are with the Clearer? And secondly, in your slides, you mentioned that you expect in 2013 that there's a lag effect on profitability. Can you just give us some more clarity on whether that means you expect to see minimal or no earnings growth in 2013, or are you expecting to see, let's say, a high single-digit growth? Thanks.
So, yes, hello, this is Luciano Conde speaking. Regarding your question about linaclotide, linaclotide is a product that has different requirements than Eclira. So I would say that there is high synergistic approach between the two of them at the GP level, but, however, the maturity of the awareness of the disease is different between and among different countries in Europe. So I would say that for the market research that we have done and we continue to do in order to be prepared for the launch, we perceive that the specialists will play a very significant and major role at the time of launch, and those we can cover without problems. And then at the time of, let's say, more dissemination and more awareness of about the disease at GP level, we will be synergistic with the launch and promotion of a Clira franchise. So we don't see the requirements to increase the investment significantly at GP level, although, of course, at gastrointestinal level will require a significant investment.
Thanks.
Jamie, can you repeat the second part of the question,
please? Yeah, sure. You've obviously given guidance for 2012 of a lower decline in net income than 2011, and then you talked about 2013 as a lag effect on profitability from new product launches, and in 2014, profit growth. I just want to confirm that you're basically saying for 2013 that you're not expecting much in the way of earnings growth, and that earnings growth is going to come in from 2014 onwards.
I think it's too early, Jamie, to comment on quantitative aspects of guidance. I think we wanted to basically give you a statement of direction, so more or less all of you could anticipate more or less when the profit could be reassumed, I mean, the profit growth could be reassumed, and how that would compare with the sales growth. So, I mean, the key message here is that, first of all, we do not expect in 2012 to have a worse trend than in 2011. Actually, it could be maybe better. Secondly, the fact that we expect significant acceleration of our revenues in 2013 onwards, and that obviously we hope that you can all understand where we need to invest adequately together with our partners, and actually partnering is one of the key elements that we have to de-risk and lower the short-term investments required to make sure that we make a competitive efforts in launching our new products, but obviously that will have a short-term impact in our P&L. So I'm afraid that at this point this is everything we can say, and let's wait a little bit and we will give more guidance as the time progresses.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you.
You have a follow-up question from the line of Kerry Holford from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Just looking in more detail at your slide on future revenue growth, so slide 31. Within the 2012 to 14 sort of guidance range you've given us there for double-digit growth, are you able to give us a bit more detail what you assume for the Spanish-based business over that period? Do you assume that the decline we've seen flattens off or even a return to growth? Because for me, double-digit looks fairly punchy, given that you also have some other patent expiries to come over that period, Almagran, Clucent. So just trying to understand the components of that growth, please.
I think that this includes everything, Kerry. I mean, obviously we are aware of the situation in Spain. As I said earlier, by 2014, the total sales outside of Spain may come closer to 70% of total. So obviously we are counting a lot on the international growth, as well as the recent launches that in Spain are doing very well. So I can tell you that at least despite the challenging environment and despite a very negative evolution in the market, which is down by almost 10% in Spain, and yet we continue to do well, and the growth of our new products can be seen. So obviously Spain will continue to be an important country for us. but yet we are not only counting on what may happen in Spain, and most of the growth will be coming from the international front.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Tara Ravidran from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my question. It's just two questions, really. Just on the gross margin, I know you talked about it staying stable for midterm. So I'm guessing stable from this year, not seeing much improvement from this quarter, I guess. And then also on your early stage pipeline, so your S1, P1, and I believe you also have some other things in there. Are there any developments in terms of partnering those? Thank you.
Maybe I can start with the S1, P1, and the HODH, et cetera. We have still ongoing discussions, but I can't give you any positive news on those two ones.
Okay, this is Daniel Martinez. About your question about the gross margin, so basically, as anticipated, and we have by Eduardo, because of all the activities we are doing in the factories as well as in the international growth, you may expect a very stable gross margin in the next. Obviously, 2011-2012. So always, when you say it's stable, it's around the 60-61% gross margin.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. That's star one to ask a question, please. We have no further questions at this time, sir. Please continue.
Okay, excellent, Anna. Thank you very much. And thank you all for your participation to this event. Have a good day.